and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into trans fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
So, the Cosmic Rust delayed Transformers War for Cybertron Siege on Netflix, and then we have an announcement of when it's going to premiere. July 30th.
Dun, dun, dun.
You like how I kind of circumvented the whole thing there by using Cosmic Rust?
Yes, it's Cosmic Rust combined with the Hate Plague, so...
The spores, Gregory, the spores. And it's so funny, I just watched The Return of Optimus Prime the other day.
I almost want to watch it just based on that alone.
My favorite line from those two parts is, Wreck-Gar, I'm a Peppa, don't you want to be a Peppa too?
I'm a Peppa, don't you want to be a Pepper too?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, anyways, Transformers has its new show.
Yes.
Coming to Netflix.
Yes, and I cannot wait. It looks so good.
It's the new trilogy, isn't it?
Yes. War for Cybertron trilogy. The first act is called Siege.
I'm kind of looking forward to it just for the fact that anytime you bring Cybertron into the effect, it's just cool. Not to downplay anything we've gotten before, but I'm actually kind of excited to see how this comes back. Plus, Prime is back, and he had died in the previous series. As usual, sacrificing oneself. But we got Optimus Primal, so that was kind of neat.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. We talked about this when we did the first two seasons of Cyberverse, and we will be doing the third season of Cyberverse here on the podcast at some point as well. I like that they are reaching out to other voice actors for Optimus because... I don't know if it's the same guy that does both. I'm going to have to look that up here in a second. But the guy that's doing him on Cyberverse and the guy that's doing him in this new promo trailer for War for Cybertron, it is the same guy. Okay. I love the way he sounds. I just enjoy it so much.
I can see that because he's kind of his own thing, but he's got a little bit of the Cullenism.
A little bit, yeah.
But he has that vibe. Whereas everybody else has been a direct impression.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I'm probably going to butcher your name, Jake, so I'm sorry. Jake Fushi is the voice of Optimus Prime. And I think that's really, really cool. I think that's pretty friggin' awesome because, don't get me wrong, Peter Cullen will always be Optimus. He always will be.
Well, he originated the role.
Obviously. But as long as you get a good voice actor in there that can do it and do it really well, then that's all that matters to me.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's getting up there in age, and I'm not saying he's retiring. I don't know.
He's in his 80s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are people, like, look at what it took for Mark Hamill to come out of retirement. It took Mark Hamill getting Skeletor in Masters of the Universe Revelation to come out of voice actor retirement.
I thought he just retired from the Joker. And I have to correct myself, Peter Cullen, 78.
Hmm. What's so funny about this news that came out about the new little promo trailer thing, and hopefully I can find this on the Netflix YouTube because it's all over their social. So I assume it's on their YouTube so I can embed in the post so people can see the trailer for War for Cybertron that we're talking about. So this news was announced today as of recording June 22nd. Also today, Transformers War for Cybertron, the video game, turns 10 years old.
I know. I remember getting that, and I miss it so much. Because that was a good series. That was actually the first good series we got since the Transformers Armada game, which was actually pretty stellar. And the Beast Wars game even wasn't nearly that good. And I don't get me wrong, I love Devastation for what it is, but War for Cybertron, the video games, there's no beating those. They were awesome. You could play as Megatron, you could play as Optimus, you could play through the storyline. Like in the first game, Megatron is destroyed by Metroplex. Yep. And then in the second game, he's being revived by Soundwave in a facility, and you rebuild him and put his spark in, and it's just epic overall. So again, I was sad that there wasn't a third game to that. So I very much like that series.
Yeah. Yeah, that between War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron, those games were really cool.
Now, speaking of games, have you seen the Transformers Battlegrounds?
Yes, I have, and I'm not going to judge it before I see more.
Can I?
But it...
I know, we said we wouldn't do this, but...
Okay, wait a minute, hold on. All Things Transformers and the Geekcast Radio Network is not responsible for anything Steve Megatron is about to say.
Correct. I think it looks like hot garbage, but... no, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, you're watching a... almost like an RPG, like almost like a type of like Command and Conquer type thing mixed with, there was this DC Legends game or something that came out.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I remember 10 that
years ago. And yeah. I remember playing it when it was in beta, and it honestly, it didn't last long before it got shut down. I think because like one, people thought it was really stupid, and honestly, it pretty much was. You were playing in the multiverse with the DC Universe, and there was really nothing to do in this game. And I was playing DC Universe Online at the time, and I tried playing this other game, and I says, this sucks, to be honest. So I never played it again. And then it pretty much disappeared right after that. Now, the funny thing is it doesn't look bad. It just looks, it reminds me of that.
Yeah, I think... Because
it's a tactical warfare adventure game is what it is. And it's the first Transformers game ever for the Switch.
I think that's the thing they had to figure out. And don't get me wrong, Nintendo has come a long way, but they're still the family company. And there's nothing family friendly about warring robots. And they had to come at it in a way. It's not exclusive to Switch, is it? It's everywhere, right? I think it's everywhere.
It's for the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, PC, and Steam, and okay. Nintendo Switch.
Okay, so it is everywhere. So I'll take back my comments. If it had been exclusively for the Switch, I could understand why they went with this type of tactical gameplay, whatever. It reminds me of Devastation a little bit, but Devastation looked a hell of a lot better than this does. This looks like... When did Command & Conquer first come out?
98?
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
Let me Google that real quick.
I'm pretty sure you're right, because I just heard a podcast with Mike Laidman and Chris Blonsky over at Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads
talk about this.
Yeah, 98.
Oh, 95, it sounds like, was the original one.
Right. The original Command & Conquer from 95, or the one that was released in 98, that's what this reminds me of. And it's, I don't know, Maybe it's because they showed like a trailer, they showed playable, they showed gameplay footage instead of an actual, like what the trailer could have been like. Kind of, I don't know. It just, like I said, it ain't my thing. I'm trying my best not to judge it. I'm just saying, like you said, it looks like something from the 90s a la Command and Conquer. That's not to say it's a bad thing. Who knows? It could be a good game. We don't know. But if you compare this to Devastation, which was this a similar type of game, Devastation looks a hell of a lot better.
Oh yeah, and the thing is Devastation's what, 5 years old? It's the first. Game. It's the first game that's come out in over 5 years.
Jeez.
Like, we've had Timelines, which came out, or not Timelines, Earth Wars, which came out on. Smartphones, and I played it as soon as it started coming out. But again, it's not the same.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, I understand Hasbro has its Transformers pots in every, you know, it has its hands in every Transformers pot around because it's their property. I get that. I just think that they have to cater to so many differing things with almost a, well, almost, we're a few years away, but almost a 40-year-old franchise. They have to make sure the kids are going to be into certain things like Bumblebee Adventures or like Rescue Bots or whatever. Insert whatever you want there. They have to make sure the old people like us are interested in. They have so much of a fan base for that brand, for the brand that we love, that they have to splinter themselves in certain directions, and they can't do everything. They can't. Nobody is ever going to please anybody. Nobody is ever going to please everybody is really what I meant to say.
Especially in this landscape.
Exactly. I mean, you never know. And here's my thing. I can look at something and say, okay, that's going to be interesting for someone. It's not for me, though. It's like I've been saying on a few of our episodes that have not been the Cyberverse review episodes, a couple of the ones that we did last year or something or other. I'm still a Transformers fan. There are plenty of things in the almost 40 years of this franchise that I love. There are things that I avoid because I don't love them, but I know that it's not for me. I don't outright, like, oh, I hate that voice of Megatron. It sucks. I'm never going to watch that again. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, like, I focus on what I'm enjoying and what piques my interest. The War for Cybertron cartoon for Netflix piques my interest. The comic books for IDW pique my interest. And this new video game, it, like you said, it's the first one in 5 years. Hey, they're trying something different. They're trying to see what their audience is going to want. There is no current film because of Cosmic Rust, you know, and whatever. Who knows? Like, Transformers right now, outside of the comics and outside of the War for Cybertron series for Netflix, is, I don't want to say it's in a holding pattern. I don't want to say it's stagnant. I want to say it's up in the air because you never know what's going to happen next to see where they're going to put their eggs. You can't just all put them in the basket that's us old people that grew up with it. You can't just put them in the young people's basket and alien. You know, you can't alienate every aspect of your fan base. And that's the thing. That has got to be so stressful for the people working at Hasbro. And that's why I have the utmost respect for anyone working there, working on this brand, working on this franchise, because they love it. They wouldn't work there. They wouldn't work on this brand or this franchise if they didn't love it.
Oh yeah, totally.
If they didn't want if they didn't want to bring something new to it or something different to it or something interesting to it, or brings, you know what? The War for Cybertron stuff. Even the Cyberverse adventures, the Bumblebee Adventures, Cyberverse, whatever you want to call it. I think it's kind of hokey that Optimus has an Autobot shield on his front bumper when he's in vehicle mode, but it's all right. It works in battle and whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't care that they made that change. I don't care that Megatron is not a gun. It makes sense for Megatron to be a giant gray, black, and red tank because this isn't the 80s anymore. You can't have Starscream, Soundwave, Rumble, Frenzy, Ravage, Ratbat, whomever, hold Megatron as a gun. And mm-hmm. with everything going on in the world today, no one needs...
It's a no-no.
Yeah, no one needs...
But they made him look... But they made him look pretty much the same.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, he looks pretty much identical. Just in a tank form.
Right, and that's fine. Like, that's absolutely fine.
But yeah, it's I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, like, yeah. They made it work so that he stays authentic in robot mode.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that is so very cool. And that I think that's great. You can take the original gun alt mode design and configure it to a different alt mode. You can, you know, those colors can move. Those colors can work. The design of how his legs are or how his torso is or how his head is with the dome hat or whatever kind of thing. You can make all of those aspects work without it having to be a gun. And I think in this society now that we live in, we don't need something that transforms into a gun.
No, and I agree with you. I mean, we're kind of beyond that point anyway.
Right, and don't get me wrong, tanks are violent things as well, but really, who has a tank unless you're some rich old guy or something? I mean, the tanks are military vehicles. And again, you know, the Decepticons, the Autobots, well, the Autobots are the consumer goods, the Decepticons are the military hardware. I also watched part four of Oh, Darkness, damn it. What's it called? Five Faces of Darkness the other day as well.
Oh, nice.
Well, I saw somebody talking about... Oh, I saw our buddy Chris McFeely, who does Transformers the Basics on YouTube. He did an episode of his show called The Invention of Transformers. I forget what it is off the top of my head. I'm not looking at it. But basically, he showed us where Transformers came from as far as, like, the actual history of the toy and how it kind of came about. And he mentions in that the origin that was done in the original G1 show. And I'm like, hey, I want to go back and look at that. So I went back and I watched part four of Five Faces of Darkness, and even though I accept the Primus, you know, Transformers God, Brother of Unicron planet thing, I still enjoy that 80s origin for the Transformers.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's an exciting, changing time for the Transformers brand, franchise, and everything. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Yeah, it's constantly evolving, and that's the other thing about it that you kind of have to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, we've talked about Battlegrounds, we've talked about War for Cybertron. Cyberverse, of course, has had 13 episodes to this date, released to their YouTube channel, and I think there's 13 more. I think I'm almost positive, but that was what I was reading anyway. And it's been pretty good so far too. But again, it's geared towards a different audience, whereas Siege is geared towards the nostalgia factor.
And Cyberverse, like I've mentioned in our previous two podcasts, even though it's supposed to be geared towards younger audiences,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what Siege is going to do yet. I like what I've seen of War for Cybertron Siege. But right now, for me, Transformers Cyberverse, everything I've seen to this point that I'm watching in Season 3, it's by far one of, if not the best Transformers cartoon. I don't want to say ever, but like I've mentioned in the previous two podcasts, it takes from everywhere. It's basically a love letter to Transformers. It takes things from everywhere, and they're interesting. Season 3 is really interesting because they get into the Quintessons, and they do all this really interesting stuff, and it's just, it's fun. For any age.
Yes.
Yes. What else do we have for Transformers discussion that you would like to bring up?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I really don't see anything else other than that they've had Michael Lombardo handle the Transformers content for TV now. Because him and Jeremy Latcham joined Hasbro's E1 to cater to the company's entertainment needs. I guess he was just a consultant for Entertainment One and is now fully on board with the studio as the head of global TV. Under the new leadership, the company is set to develop programming based on Hasbro properties, including Power Rangers, Transformers, Dungeons and Dragons, and more. There could be some good quality stuff coming out of this.
Yep. I know we generally don't talk toys or that kind of stuff, but I like statues. Statues? Do you like statues? Because Pop Culture Shock, G1 Optimus Prime, Megatron, and Soundwave statue teaser images are here, and I don't know how tall these things are going to be because I'm not reading the article, I'm just looking at the images, and they look really cool. Let's see, the article says, 2005 board's member Devastator Predaking brought our attention to some new Pop Culture Shock, G1 Optimus Prime, Megatron, and Soundwave PVC. Oh, they're PVC statues that have been listed at GameStop. You can find these statues ready for pre-order at GameStop website for $50 each. Expected for release in November of this year. It's work in progress renders, but they look really cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fun. I mean, if you want to spend $50 on a statue, I mean, I know a lot of people do. I know a lot of people are in the statue collecting more than the action figure collecting, which that's, you know, great. I mean, look at me. I collect Funko Pops, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think that's really, really cool that they're doing those classic robot mode things.
Yeah. Well, the other funny thing is we were talking off air about Scourge from Generation 1. I was on TF Source, and they have it's funny because they have all these different versions other than the one that actually looks like the show. unless you're looking at third party. And then of course it's more money, but it's show accurate. And it comes with a show accurate Target Master, as well as a display stand, so it looks like he's floating in the air. It comes with the Matrix of Leadership that's able to be shoved in his chest.
Very cool.
But yeah, it's expensive. But it doesn't come with the Matrix, but I think that's from the Masterpiece Prime. But either way, it's. I was like, oh, that's pretty nice, but it's like $180. Just like I want the Beast Wars Masterpiece Megatron. He's like $350, which is ridiculous. They do have a third-party one, which this is hilarious to me. They have a third-party, they're doing third-party Transmetals.
Interesting.
Of like Primal and Megatron. And... Mm-hmm. The Primal doesn't really look much different, to be honest, from the official Hasbro one. Mm-hmm. The Megatron, on the other hand, he doesn't have that goofy, shiny look to him. I mean, the rest of them, it looks like the same mold, per se, but the plastic looks different. There's like a different, it looks more solid. And the legs, are definitely different than the original toy. And the hands are different. And part of the chest, and then it's a completely different head mold, like head sculpt. Totally different than what the original was. And, honestly, that's very tempting because, well, because he has greater mobility, like his limbs are thinner and his torso is the heavy part, which is just like the show. The dinosaur head looks more real and has like the transmetal tongue thing sticking out of it.
Right.
And it has the, you know, the grin and everything else that he had. But it's only $50 and it looks, it's like borderline, you know, borderline masterpiece, but it's like 5-inch figure.
Very cool.
Not very tall, but I mean, it gets the job done. Granted, I'd rather have that exact one as a masterpiece, but they aren't quite there yet. That'd probably be like $500, right. And I'll never buy it because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Like, I wish that the masterpiece were more accessible.
Yeah.
Because, like, when the original Prime came out, I think that they didn't really know what to charge for them. And granted, it was in 2006. Because I bought the original masterpiece MP01 Prime, and he was about, I would say, about 70% die-cast, and the rest was plastic.
Right.
And then they kept coming out with Prime, and it was more and more plastic every time. Because that sucker was heavy. Like, and he had some real rubber tires, had shocks in them. He had, like, all kinds of, like, hydraulic stuff built into it. And I greatly enjoyed that figure until I decided to sell it. I actually tripled my money selling it. Because when they had it, I didn't have enough money, but I was like, man, I should buy a couple of these. Cause I'm like, I can foresee this down the road becoming something people want. And sure enough it was, but it still, like, I was like, no. Cause had I had enough of those, I could have turned around and flipped them and bought Megatron.
Back in the day, if I was ever before I have my Funko obsession, I think it was right before my Mighty Mugs obsession back in the day. If I was to ever get a Masterpiece Optimus G1, it would have to be the MP04 because it comes with the trailer. It's MP01, but it's MP04. So it's the MP01 figure with the trailer for MP04. I think I've said that on this show multiple times, but I haven't said that in a while.
I greatly want the Masterpiece Megatron.
Megatron.
Well, because it's got the grin, it's got the proper, you know, design from the show, and it just, I don't know. And it could have something to do with that it's my favorite character of, like, all animation.
Well,
and yeah. I love doing the voice.
Voice? What voice?
This voice. Yes, Megatron.
You could say you've been on an excellent adventure with him.
Yes, a most excellent adventure indeed.
Okay, I think that's gonna wrap it up for us.
Yes, I think I've run this train wreck into the ground, literally. And
it hasn't been an Astro train wreck. It hasn't even been a Blitzwing wreck. I'm just boiling in Cybertronian lava at this point over here. So, yes, next time around, who knows what we'll be talking about. Is Cyberverse Season 3 supposed to have 26 episodes?
I believe so.
Okay.
Cyberverse.
I don't remember. Episodes. Bumblebee Adventures. Yeah.
Yeah, there's 26.
26. Okay, so they only have the first 13. So that's probably going to be a couple episodes. We should probably do an episode next month on something. If you guys have a suggestion for us for a topic, please let us know. Feedback@geekcastradio.com, header, subject line, ATTF topic. Because we definitely have to do one for August 8th.
Yes. Yes, yes.
And I've already run out of Transformers, This Is Your Life kind of thing, so we're not doing that, obviously.
The show's 12 years old.
Yep.
And it still hasn't broken 200 episodes.
Huh. Well, it will. Yeah.
That's because we only we used to do them weekly, and then we went bi-weekly, and then we went monthly, and we're like, we'll release one when we feel like it now, because there's a lot of stuff that it's just garbage, like rumors and clickbait, and so rather than sit there and down it, we're just like, we'll just wait.
So here's the thing, and hopefully now that IDW has its new universe, I can get you on board with this. I'm not saying we're going to do this, but we could get to 200 episodes. We're on 171 now. We technically need 29 more podcasts. I'm pretty sure there's 29 issues of the comic series that if we wanted to record 29 podcasts and put them out before August 8th to get to 200 episodes, for the 200th episode being the 12-year anniversary, I'm sure we could do that, but I don't think we will because it's way too time-consuming. And right now, even though I live in the wonderful state of Washington at this point with my lovely wife and our cat, these people out here do not believe in central air in apartment buildings, homes, whatever. It's crazy because most of the other three seasons, it's temperate. It doesn't get above 50 or whatever. It's like between 30 degrees and 50 degrees the other three parts of the year. Whereas right now in the middle of summer, it'll be like 84 degrees tomorrow. And I know we're not supposed to talk about weather on podcasts. It's supposed to be podcast 101, but we're ending this train wreck. Right now it's 79 degrees in here with no central air. Yeah, I'm schwitzing.
I live in a basement. I'm fine.
Yeah, you live in a basement. You're fine. I'll give you fine.
I'll give you fine.
Give you fine like a fusion cannon over there. Anyway, yes, you can reach us. I'm at TFG and Mike on Twitter. He is at SCP21. All things TFV3 on Twitter, I think. Correct. Or is that not right? Okay, yeah. You can also find the show on Facebook. You can find the network on Facebook. Go to geekcastradio.com. Comment on this and every other episode post if you want to. And next time we'll have something for you. We don't know. Like I said, send us an email, folks. There you go.
So until next time, transform and roll out. Years.
Yes.